B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Hey, Bernard Russo here at Royale Boston, where Patrice Bergeron and the rest of his Bruins teammates join 98.5 The Sports Hub for the annual Pucks and Paddles ping pong tournament to benefit Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center.
It's kind of like I can't really put it into words. It's just so, like, amazing that I'm here.
Really special. It's always a lot of fun. Happy to be here, and obviously for two great causes. So, we're excited for a great day.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. A very exciting part of the year because the Australian Open is on while we are on the air. And while there is no one else in the building, we have our friends in Australia doing something.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there live performing.
Mm-hmm.
While we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So there is life outside of this very building.
10 o'clock at night, is that what you said, Dan? That's what it is over there right now? Going late into the evening.
Djokovic over there, it's 6-6 in the first. He's up 6-4 in a tiebreak. I mean, well, here we are. We're rocking and rolling.
I don't know. It makes me feel better about humanity that while we're here sitting in the dark on a holiday with no one outside and no one listening, I'm sure we can at least watch tennis.
Yes, and there is something odd about that. And when there's a golf tournament, the British Open.
Right, I live for those days, man.
It's always nice to know that something's going on. So this is a window into the world of John. It's John. Dan and I.
Yeah.
Are big into...
I pay so little attention to tennis. You could have told me this was from 3 weeks ago, and I wouldn't have known.
No. I don't care who wins. it's the idea that it's happening.
Humanity exists while we're sitting here.
Sure.
Yeah, in the darkness of 6 a.m.
Something's
happening in the world.
Yeah. Because the people that are in the news at this time, their lives suck, too. And so you're just like, all right, well, they got to do this crap, and they got to get up early. But the tennis players, they're out there, it's night, they're rocking and rolling, the fans are drinking, and here we are.
Well, we want to thank everyone who came out to Pucks and Paddles. That was a lot of fun. I think they raised, was it $125,000? It's always ridiculous when you see the number at the end, because you never can really quite figure it out when they're doing all the bids. I think DeBrusque ended up being, I think he got like over 10 grand, I think, for someone to play ping pong with him, which, and I didn't even get to see who it was. If I was a player and somebody bid 10 grand, I'd be like extremely happy and then a little concerned. Like, that's a lot of money. You really, really, really wanted to meet me.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time with DeBrusque over at the event.
Yeah, everyone obviously in a good mood. And who ultimately won?
I don't know.
I think Anton Bleed.
Anton Bleed, okay.
But the final match between the four Bruins that they did, went on forever.
I couldn't tell by the way you were commenting.
It just wouldn't end.
I don't by the bar, and it was like, "How's Fred taking this?" I said, "Just listen for 2 seconds."
I'm like, why won't this end?
I don't mean to contradict you, but it actually didn't. I think it was less than 5 minutes.
The dichotomy between the two of you up on stage. One guy was like, "Wow, Team Canada, what a comeback!" And Fred's like, "This is." Fred said this into the microphone in front of the crowd. This is lasting forever.
over.
Yeah.
Please, somebody win.
Well, Rich had a lot going on. To me, it seemed like it was going on forever.
Yeah, I know.
It was under
everybody in the room
under
knew
5 minutes.
I don't know. I didn't know it was going to happen, and then I didn't. And then
they do it every year.
Yeah, I didn't. What am I going to remember that every year they do some dumb match? At
yeah,
the end?
Grand finale. It's always they do a match with four of the players together. It's like, I mean, done it every year.
No, okay,
it was in the script.
Well, the script was I was supposed to be done talking, and then so I just was like, all right, this has been a good event.
Yeah,
this seems superfluous, and then it's like there was like eight people there. People were leaving mm-hmm. while this match was going on. I mean, I don't have I don't think it ruined anything, but it just seems like
it was great to watch the two of you up there at the end. It really was.
It just seemed to me that like it was highly unnecessary that they played ping. You're watching people play ping pong.
You kept saying Pastrnak, and who the hell is this guy next to him?
Yeah, I don't know who was.
It was Joakim Nordstrom.
Yeah, it was Nordstrom.
Oh, I don't know who the hell that is. I know who he is on the team. I don't know him by sight. I mean, I couldn't see the back of his shirt. Yeah, I don't know who he is. What do you want out of me? I did a fabulous job emceeing that evening.
It was fun. It was good to see everyone out there, and there weren't any fights that were picked, so no one got too angry. John from Vegas was there, and from everything that I know, I mean, he definitely didn't hijack the event. Like, there wasn't a moment like last year.
I didn't recognize him. He was talking to me for like 5 minutes.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No, he wasn't in disguise, but I think that he had grown his hair out and grown a beard.
Correct.
Specifically to act like he was a member of the press.
So, yeah, he ended up getting in as a member of the press. I don't know what his ultimate plan was or what the results were. I do know this, though, is that for me, one of the most entertaining parts of the evening is I happened to walk up as Joe Murray's wife was absolutely undressing John from Vegas.
I saw that.
Was murdering him with her words.
Yep.
Because she likes Sarge. Like they're friends with Sarge. Yep. Joe Murray and Joe Murray's wife, like, think Sarge is a great guy. And Joe Murray's wife just went all in on John from Vegas. Like, I thought, and John tried to, you know him, he's trying to defend himself, but he got verbally murdered by Joe Murray's wife. It was awesome. And it went on for, I think she did it for a full 5 minutes. And then, like, John from Vegas kind of, like, floated back, and she went back in on him
second time. I didn't see.
Oh, it was great. Okay. It was awesome. We might need to talk to Joe Murray this morning and get a little bit of an update
on that. He was proud, man. He was
loving
it.
He's the one who told me. I didn't realize it was going on. And yeah, I was talking to him, and he goes, check out my wife. And I'm like, who's she yelling at? Because I couldn't tell. She goes, that's John from Vegas. I went, ooh. Yeah. And all I heard was this, you think Sarge is the guy?
She was not happy.
No, not happy at all. Nope. So Sarge, someone I was out there defending your honor during the Tyson battles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's one.
Yep, that was one person defending him.
Seems a little unnecessary, but listen. Yeah, I didn't. John from Vegas said that the only one who immediately knew it was him was you, Rich.
Yeah, immediately. Yeah, I mean, I know what he looks like.
No, but to me, he said he was from some, like, Concord Journal or something like that, and I'm like, okay. And then he's like, nah, I'm just kidding. I'm John from Vegas.
Does anybody know what he did?
I don't think he did anything. No, as a matter of fact, when he talked to me, he swore that he was not there to blow things up. He was just there to get in and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what he said to me, too.
Okay. Because I heard he'd interviewed some people.
Well, yeah. Not to my knowledge, not a player.
Okay. No, he didn't get into the VIP section and do that. He was hanging around the bar area in the back, general admission.
Yeah. Well, Fred and I bumped out first round. I think my team only scored two. We got absolutely murdered. And I didn't realize it, but 2 years in a row by the same guy was Chris Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were with Andrew Raycroft, right?
I was against him.
Against Andrew Raycroft, yeah.
But we did better than before.
And his team went very far. So you got beaten by a very good, him and his partner were very good.
I mean, yeah. No question about that.
They made the Elite Eight, I think.
Yeah. Well, good. Once I'm done, I'm done. Not really.
Until the end where you have to do play-by-play the final match.
I had
lots to do after that.
Yeah, there was play-by-play of the final match. And by the way, I'll tell you this. 5 minutes of ping pong is 5 minutes of ping pong. 5 minutes of ping pong is like a half an hour of anything else.
Rich, I thought you did a great job.
Oh, I was just like, I mean,
you did a great job.
They asked us to do the play-by-play.
Team Canada against Team Europe.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
What are you saying? I didn't do a good job, John?
Well, it was clear to everyone in the room you did not want to be there for that particular section of the day.
Yeah, but I think that was charming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that came off as very charming. It was very on point. Do you see? That's what people want. They love the grumpy man with a heart of gold is what the people want when they're out there.
Yep. That's my fault. I misread the whole situation.
Well, that's not the first time you've misread something.
How about you get a big pop on stage?
I did. That was very nice.
A lot of Wallaholics there.
Thank you for inviting me on and giving me that. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, it was a wonderful event, enjoyed by all. All right, Rich, what is coming up here as we move into the Martin Luther King holiday, as we review the big day in sports yesterday, two tremendous football games? What are we going to talk about?
Well, let's talk about those games, and Tom Brady speaks, and everyone speculates.
All right, we will hear all of that just in a moment.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
That ain't five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Bill Belichick's favorite quarterback is going to the Super Bowl.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. What a way to end it. With a deep shot to Devontae Adams, and it is Richard Sherman who makes the interception.
And with that, Bill Belichick right there sent Jimmy Garoppolo a text of an eggplant emoji as the 49ers win the NFC Championship, beating Aaron Rodgers and crushing State Farm's dreams of having both their endorsers in the Super Bowl together. Although Garoppolo really didn't need to do much. He threw the ball a whopping 8 times for 77 yards.
Didn't need to do anything. They could have run Wildcat the entire night.
As a matter of fact, he didn't throw the ball at all in the third quarter. Like, not even at all. But who needs that when you have this guy?
Garoppolo under center from Green Bay's 23-yard line. You check it, a true eye. They're going to run it again. Wide stretch run to Mostert. Gets the edge left. Cuts back inside. Raheem Mostert has 4 rushing touchdowns and the most yards rushing in a playoff game in 49er history. Oh, by the way, touchdown, San Francisco!
Yes, thank you, San Francisco Scott Zolak. Raheem Mostert gets into the end zone 4 times. I think in the NFL that's widely known as a Jonas Gray. 220 yards as well. Here is the best-looking man in sports, Jimmy Garoppolo, on going to the Super Bowl.
You know, I mean, starting back with the ACL and everything, since then it's been crazy. It's been a crazy whirlwind of a ride, and no one else I'd rather be in a dogfight with than those guys in that locker room. It's a great group to be with. Everyone's pulling together. Everyone's tight with one another. It was fun to watch. It's just a great group, man.
Why would you even talk to this guy?
I know.
Why would you even bring him up there?
I'll tell you. First of all, I'd never heard of their running back before, so that was interesting.
Okay. Mostert. Yeah, well, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, at the beginning of the year was kind of okay, and then
he was the backup.
And now
I mean, I don't follow the 49ers.
Right.
I have no idea who the guy was, and then I also learned Garoppolo not smart. But the But there he is, game managing like no one's business.
Hey, you know who say what you will, but for those keeping track, since 2017, 49ers, they're 4-20 without Jimmy Garoppolo and 21-5 with him.
I'm sure
all he does
I'm
is
sure
win.
It's all him. Yeah.
he doesn't cause any losses.
Well, that's why he's there, because he doesn't screw up. Yeah. That's a great trait, I guess, to having a quarterback.
Well, when you don't have to throw for a quarter, I would imagine that. Limits your ability. And I mean, he didn't fumble and he snaps.
Nope.
He got every handoff was clean.
I mean, this is like Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson stuff.
Dilfer wasn't a good quarterback.
No, Dilfer, all right. This is Brad Johnson, Gruden's Tampa Bay.
Brad Johnson was better than Garoppolo at that point. Brad Johnson was MVP candidate.
I think
Brad Johnson
22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions the year that Tampa Bay won it.
Didn't Brad Johnson get an MVP one year?
I don't remember that.
Okay. I was under the assumption that he did, but maybe I'm wrong. But Brad Johnson, at least for a time, was a very good player.
Yeah, that one year that Tampa Bay won it, he was good, decent. 22 touchdowns, 6 picks, but that's not otherworldly.
No.
I mean, I think Garoppolo was 27-13 interceptions with just under 4,000
yards. Lockhart, did Brad Johnson ever win MVP?
Super Bowl, no.
Not of a Super Bowl, of a league.
I think you're thinking of Rich Gannon.
Oh, I'm thinking
of
Rich
lost
Gannon.
To Johnson in the Super Bowl as the quarterback of Oakland.
I'm thinking of Rich Gannon. Thank you, I am.
That is true. And by the way, points to George Kittle for coming out to his press conference wearing a T-shirt
George Kittle.
Of a shirtless Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't think he caught a pass and wasn't targeted until the fourth quarter.
He looks like a third-string quarterback.
Yeah.
But in the picture, am I the only one who was a little disappointed with the picture of the shirtless Jimmy Garoppolo?
His pectorals are on point, but his stomachs are a little, it is a little, not as trim as I thought it would be.
If you look closely.
Which I did.
Well, I know. Well, I'm telling the audience, if you look closely, not quite the bod that I was hoping for. I mean, if you're going to wear a shirt of someone shirtless, I mean, you want to have them have a bod on them.
Well, one guy who is enjoying all of this is Richard Sherman, who we can now call Captain Clapback. He's taking notes on all the haters. Here he is talking about the Packers and how they were saying this was going to be their revenge game.
Was there a level of confidence in you matching up well with the Packers?
Yeah, there was a ton of confidence. We took our starters out in the fourth quarter of that game. I think they were trying to pump themselves up. They were trying to hype themselves up, you know, throughout the talking about a revenge game. So saying payback and saying, you know, when you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. So it's not, they're trying to hype themselves up like, man, we're going to be ready this time. You weren't ready the first time, and that was in front of the whole country. That was a Sunday night game. It wasn't like it was a game, just a middle of the day, 1 o'clock game. It kind of bothered us a little bit. You know, they're like, oh my God, we're going to be ready this time. Like, you weren't ready. Like, do you not take games seriously? You know, when do we not take games seriously in a regular season? If you would have won that one, you would have had the one seed, would have been going to Green Bay. But hey, it wasn't that big a deal. You were going to be ready this time. But story for a different day.
I guess the bottom line is don't ever use the word revenge when talking about going up against a team. I think Kyle Van Noy will tell you that right now. And they have this situation as well where everyone said, here we go. We're going to come back and show you how it's done. On top of that, Darrell Revis tweeted a photo of Richard Sherman on his TV and wrote, quote, fear of getting beat in man-to-man coverage. Every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a cornerback is lame. Accept the challenge as the best and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding a cover 3 zone. And to that, Richard Sherman retweeted it and responded, I would go in on this, but I have a Super Bowl to prepare for. Enjoy the view from the couch. Your 9th year looked a lot different than this. LMAO. That's actually pretty good.
That has always been the the knock on Sherman. Is that...
Very sensitive?
No, that he's not a... Sorry. It's a holiday. That he's not a man-to-man guy. Remember, that's sure. always what's yeah. been what's been heaped upon
and
him.
Safeties cover up for him in Seattle, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that he was...
Because they had two otherworldly safeties.
Right, that he was Seattle never a was true shutdown corner.
He's been playing well. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, I know the Kansas City and their defense for the past year and a half, it's been pretty much maligned, but if you take a look at the total amount of points that they've given up this season, it's almost 100 points less than last year. So they have made improvements. Richard Sherman's been pretty good. 49ers, there you go. Whereas the Niners may have a perfectly serviceable quarterback, the Chiefs, they got a damn wizard under center.
Kelce again, split to the right. Williams shades that same way. Three-man rush again by Tennessee. Mahomes. Moving to his left, laterally chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the
Rich. Okay, first of all, that play was awesome. But yeah. I saw Rich Eisen tweet out, that should be in the NFL 100 greatest plays of all time.
All right.
And I'm like, really? I mean, that was an amazing play. But what? It was a quarterback sneak from 35 yards out. And I know it was 60 total. Well, not quarterback sneak, but he ended up scrambling and right. ended up, you know, scoring. But either way, he's sitting there. And I've seen... I would say that Deshaun Watson's play from a couple weeks ago was a more amazing play, the way he evaded being tackled.
See, Lamar Jackson makes like, seven plays better than that during the regular season.
I mean, that was a great play. I'm not going to knock it. It was amazing. It was the best of the weekend. I can't argue with that. But, I mean, they were saying it's one of the greatest plays of all time this weekend.
Well, it just shows that you're not being Kansas City. I mean, you can hold the ball for 8 minutes. You can run the ball all day. Yeah.
Tennessee looked like they always did for about a quarter and a half.
Yeah, no, and that was it. And they drove for an 8 minute plus drive, and they scored. And then Kansas City said, "Okay, we're going to score in 2 seconds."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kansas City just is too fast. Yeah, they're too fast.
Kansas City slows down the San Francisco running game. It's over.
I don't think it matters.
All right. Well, Kansas City's favored by I think one.
Okay,
in the Super Bowl.
But I'd be all over Kansas City because you could, I mean, the 49ers could hold the ball for a quarter and score, and then Kansas City just come back and they're not going to hold the ball for a half. They could hold the ball for a quarter. Kansas City's going to score in 4 seconds.
That San Francisco defense, look, you're right. They have a lot of weapons. Mahomes was the MVP last year, and he's the reason they're in the Super Bowl this year, but I think if there is a defense out there to slow that team down, it would be San Francisco's.
Their skill position players are so fast. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, Mahomes didn't even have to score on that play. I mean, it's not like they weren't going to score.
Yeah, they were going to put it in the end zone.
I mean, they were going to go in the end zone anyway. I mean, it was a nice play, and I don't care if it's one of the 100 best plays. It doesn't matter to me. But it wasn't like he needed to do that. It wasn't a situation where they were screwed if he didn't do that. In fact, I thought it was dumb he didn't throw the ball away. I thought he was going to get stopped. But I just can't see anyone beating Kansas City. I can't see it coming down to anything. I don't know what you can do.
Well, all I know is that Andy Reid heads to his second Super Bowl, and he's getting his warm weather leisure wear ready for Miami.
Fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes so we can go do our thing. But very proud.
I was talking to someone at a basketball game yesterday that said that I think they knew Andy Reid, and Andy Reid will eat two meals at once. That he'll like go to a steakhouse and get like two steaks.
And now it's not a tag. Where's the what's happening thing? We need that.
Yeah.
hey, would you look at me, Andy Reid?
But he apparently will have like he's no joke. Yeah. He's not just a guy who's, you know, pleasantly plump.
No, he's a...
He tears it up. He enjoys it.
On the other side of things, meanwhile, Travis Kelce wants you know that he is the Czech Cola version of Rob Gronkowski.
Appreciate it. I'll tell you what. It's been 7 years coming, baby. I learned one thing since I've been here. You got to fight for your right to party!
Suck.
I'm starting to be on Team Zolak about this guy.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
Yes.
Boo. Whoa. Yeah.
Team Zolak.
That is not good. That is an embarrassment to humanity.
Yeah, that was a little...
It's out of context, and it's stupid. Ew.
And he's not drunk. He just played.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse for that.
Even if you're drunk, you just don't say things like what are you doing?
As I said, like, he's the knockoff version of Rob Gronkowski.
Gronkowski, I don't think could reference a 1987 song, but the even if you were drunk, I'd be like, I got to get away from this guy. He's out of his mind.
Meanwhile, Frank Clark of the Chiefs. Hated hearing about how unstoppable Derrick Henry was going to be against them, and he let the world know after the game.
Past two games, each game, 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we wasn't going to win the game if we let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards, they call him the best rusher in the league. We're sitting in this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me.
And all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media said,
they must not know who I am yet. They gonna find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, the is gonna change. Look at the we're the best in the world.
Go join.
I'll tell you what, it's been 7 years coming, baby. I learned one thing since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right to fight!
All right. Tomorrow we got to do a bit called the douchiest things ever said after a game.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, we got the Gomes man.
Oh.
I mean, there's so that because that is in the Hall of Fame of douchey crap.
I would have to. Think and by that the way, probably.
Where's my party people at in Boston?
It's not that.
It's just call them the Papelbon Awards.
That's not nearly as bad.
Oh, come on. We're here. You're going to party your ass off. We're
he didn't
party?
Go, I've learned something. You have to fight for your right to party. It doesn't make sense. It's a bad song by a very great band.
It's come on, Papelbon. Where's my party people at in Boston? And while we're kicking ass, we need y'all to party your ass off.
All right, that's bad.
When I come out of that bullpen, they get the party started. Dropkick Murphy's here tonight, baby.
Party hard. I mean, that's pretty bad, dude.
It's not Kelsey bad. And I have a feeling Kelsey knew he was going to say that.
Like you prepared it?
He did a Gomes-like thing. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, let's get to Tom Brady. He spoke to, of course, the very creepy Jim Gray about his future and a report.
Does that ever end? They just talk forever.
He wears them on his back like it's Yoda in training.
So we're going to be like 80 years old and, you know, in a nursing home. And
right.
Jim Gray is going to be like the head of Jim Gray will be in some kind of fluid and he'll just still be asking questions.
What say you, Mr. Brady? Do not. Like, there is no try.
Why are they still talking?
I don't know. I guess it's probably through the Super Bowl. They have a contract.
Okay, but all right.
And one of the greatest rumors that came out about Tom Brady this weekend, all based on a chance meeting on Saturday night.
Ooh, all right. Oh, I think I know what it is. One of the nicest guys in the NFL.
You bet.
All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hub. Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, Jim Gray talked to Tom Brady.
He did, because it's the interview that never ends, apparently. This time...
Yeah, it just keeps going and going and going as the Patriots aren't playing. It's just Jim Gray and his pal.
You're going to run out of questions eventually. He's just going to be like, what are you wearing?
Yeah, just like, hey, want to have dinner?
Is it something from Macy's? Macy's. All your Christmas time shopping.
What are you doing for dinner?
That's right.
Well, you know, why don't we have a dinner?
Well, this time they talked about potentially playing somewhere else other than Foxborough.
And he said,
finally,
no way.
Tom.
He said, he goes, yeah, I'm leaving.
He goes, thank you for the question, Jim. I am going to go. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm.
Finally, Tom, you continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Mm-hmm. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's been a couple weeks, and you know, I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks, and just decompressing from the season, and spending time with them. So I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process. You know, at the same time, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these two games today as a fan and enjoy them from my couch.
Couch potato, Tom Brady. Yeah! Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
Come on.
Hey, Tom, could I bang you? Hey, Tom, I have an indecent proposal. I'll let you choke the life out of me and feel what it's like to take a man's life. If you let me bang you one. Tom?
I wonder if I'm going to see him.
Tom?
You are going to see him.
Good. Good. And I can
tell him Fred says hi. Yeah.
We're just going to crack the mics and he's going to be sitting there. Let me surprise you.
Yeah. Waiting at the table? When you get there?
Sure.
Tom? Tom? Would you like to choke me, Tom? Or would you like to slit my throat and slowly watch the blood drip as my life ends?
It's fairly, Tom, fairly macabre there, my friend.
Tom, you have the power.
He does,
Tom,
have
you
power.
Have my permission.
Well, meanwhile, Jason Lockenfor, yes, he knows Jim Gray.
Tom, would you like to kick the chair out from under me?
I just want to see you disappear in a sheet of white. Just
Tom, I want you to, Tom, 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 I want you to be the last thing I see.
That's right.
Tom, Tom, your muscular hand.
Yes.
Around my esophagus.
You can use my belt if you'd like.
Tom.
It's from Macy's. I got it on sale.
Tom, cut the brakes in my car.
All right. Meanwhile, Jason Lockenfor of CBS threw this out there because everyone's just throwing crap out there regarding Tom Brady. He said, quote, "It would be extremely surprising if Brady were to agree to any new pact with the Patriots prior to the start of free agency in March." He said Brady and his team will weigh all options available to determine which opportunity provides the best chance to continue competing for the Lombardi Trophy and to see what other organizations think of him at this late stage in his career. As one source put it, Brady will do due diligence to access all realistic possibilities with it only human nature to explore his chance to embrace free agent status for the first time in his career. Well, since then, there are two things that have kind of happened that might sway you one way or the other. First of all, Philip Rivers did confirm to Adam Schefter that he and his family have moved from San Diego. This is not some morning DJ just like speculating whether or not they cleaned out his suite and spick and span. No, this is true. His text, what this means football-wise is to be determined, but it was time for us to move back closer to home. So Philip Rivers moved his family to Florida. They no longer have a residency in San Diego. Because remember, he used to travel all the way from San Diego to Los Angeles.
How does that happen? Do you pack up a couple of cars? You know, he drives one car, the wife drives another car, five kids in one car, four in the other car.
Right, so it's just a Greyhound.
I'm just going to say, that's not an easy thing.
Yeah, so that's one thing.
So responsible to have nine kids. Well, you can really keep an eye on all of them.
Hey, listen, as long as no one's bleeding or no one's dirty, I think then usually you're happy. Right. So on top of that, there was another rumor that was floated around. That was because of something that was seen on television. The big UFC fight was this weekend, and sure enough, there was a video that came out of Tom Brady rubbing elbows with only the most handsome man there, Mr. Mark Davis, owner of the Oakland Raiders. I mean, it was almost like two twins standing next to each other. It was tough to tell them apart.
Hey there, Mr. Brady.
Are you a big fan of Tom Brady's Mr. Mark Davis?
I'm more of a Bobby guy.
A what guy?
Bobby. Oh,
Bobby Brady.
Yeah, he was a race car driver after when they went to the very Brady Christmas.
No, I'm talking about to be the quarterback of your team. Right?
Nah, Peter's got a weird voice.
Well, I mean, did he get training?
You know,
from,
the dad died.
Really, he died?
Yeah.
Didn't Joe, who was the guy, Joe Namath? Didn't he, like, give him some tips on throwing a football?
Yeah, they lied. They said he was sick, and then they got him over there. Desi Arnaz Jr. came over and gave Marcia kiss on the cheek. She said she'd never wash it, but she's a liar.
Well, here is Dana.
She washed it all right.
She did. Well, here's Dana White, who is friends with both Mark Davis and Tom Brady, on what he believed from that conversation.
Oh, now you want to talk about Tom Brady, right? What was he what? Oh, how would you not like to fight? I thought, when she asked me the question earlier, I thought you guys were going to ask me, hey, Tom Brady was here, Davis was here, I saw them talking, what's going on? Are you guys Las Vegans or what? Come on, man. If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here. All right? So, I don't know.
Yeah,
no idea what I'm talking about.
It just sounds like Dana White was having a good time.
Yeah, just, I got no idea.
It'd be great, though. The Raiders, I think, are here next year as one of the opponents.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic if Brady played for them.
That would be great. That'd be nice to see. It would just be hysterical watching the two of them work together. I mean, and also Gruden being the coach for Tom Brady.
Gruden would do whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, Tommy, come here.
Why would Brady do that? Other than the fact that he might give him like a $1 zillion contract. And I'm not joking. Look at what he paid John Gruden. He paid John Gruden $100 million. $10 million a year over 10 years. That's what the facts could
figure so out. Let's give Brady the same thing at the age of 42.
Couldn't you see him doing
10 years,
that?
$100 million.
Mark
Tom.
Davis is the one guy dumb enough to do something like that.
Yes, I could see. I don't think that's ridiculous that Tom would go to Vegas. I don't think at all.
And it would have only to do with one thing. There's only one reason he would go there. Zillions of dollars.
Yeah, he would get paid as much more money probably than any quarterback in history, and then they would, you know, for a 2 or 3 year, probably give him a 5 year deal. And just go, here we go.
You know he would do that.
And not front loaded either. No. Still pay him like $25 million when he's 47.
I'd do it. I mean, if he wants money and this is the way he wants to be respected, why not?
And also, I mean, it's the whole San Diego theory. You know, moving to L.A., they're about to go into the new stadium, and that was the whole talk as to why you'd want Tom Brady to make a splash. Oakland's about to open up in Las Vegas. And that's got to be the same mindset if you're ownership. You want to make a big splash. Instead of coming out there with Derek Carr and a team that was, you know, somewhat disappointing, come out there with Tom Brady. You want to go big.
Well, they don't need the pop. They'll sell out their season tickets anyway. I mean, Los Angeles is the team that
Chargers needs would need it badly.
But Davis is dumb enough to just give him a phenomenal amount of money. And so I think that those are the two destinations. I think that it makes sense. Los Angeles makes a lot of sense, and I would give them a lot of money because I got to do something. And then Las Vegas makes sense because, I mean, we've seen that Davis will just do anything.
It'd be great. Patriots play both teams next year, so storylines would be fantastic.
And the Raiders one's at home.
Yes, Raiders one's at home. They're at L.A.,
yeah, so I mean, it'd be very interesting.
That's your mystery. It's your mystery team.
That's right.
They're the ones going to swoop on in. Man, that deal would be hysterical. What do you think he would legitimately offer him? I think you're right. I think Mark Davis would do something stupid like 5 years. I'm
5 years, $100 million, and a kangaroo.
Yeah,
that would be what
Ray would offer him. 90 million dollars.
See, I'm with Dan. Just said in my headset, I actually believe this. I think he would offer him 3 years, $100 million.
Sure,
he would say, "I have to have him."
Yeah.
Guaranteed $100 million for 3 years.
All of it guaranteed.
But would Brady take
better
that?
Better than Kirk Cousins, yes.
Would Brady take that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely he would take that. Of course. Because it's not even the money. It's the idea that I am the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Is he? I don't think he is.
No.
I think at that amount.
No, per year?
No. No, who makes
$100 million?
No, that's not, yeah, but you're talking 30, 33 a year, 30, whatever. I think
Russell Wilson's 30.
No, who's the highest now?
I'm checking.
Okay, take a look. But I thought it was in the low 30s. Yeah, Matt Ryan's up there too.
No, Russell Wilson's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, or the highest paid.
Oh, Wilson is $35 million. Okay, so he makes $35 million. But I guarantee you he would say yes to $100 million for 3 years.
Yes, I would agree with that. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Pull up three, Kemba Walker. Kemba pull up three. Nance got the hands down. And Kemba drills.
This is Kemba Walker, and you're listening to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Guys of all shapes and sizes
now
come together to form a team.
More of Toucher and Rich.
That could be interesting.
On Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's up?
Well, things started up well enough for the Bruins.
Twisting is Pastrnak back of the net to the far circle. Center deflected. They score! That might have deflected in off a Penguin stick. If it goes to Pastrnak, that's his league-leading 37th. 3-0 Bruins.
Oh, it was looking to be a rout. Another feel-good moment. You're about to say, hey, look at that. It's the pucks and paddles bump. But just the opposite happened.
And McAvoy has it back of his net. Run into by Malkin. Center. They score! Malkin eliminates the check. Got the puck out in front, and Halak was at the opposite near post. It's drilled in, and Rust makes it a 4-3 Penguins lead.
Up by three goals, and they end up blowing it. And this has become a pattern. The Bruins lose.
Second time in a week.
It's the first time in club history that the Bruins have lost games in which they've had three-goal leads three times in a regular season. That is inexcusable. And I know that you have had all the players, and of course, Cassidy's been talking about their inability to keep these leads, but this is becoming a problem. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards, after the game. Actually, let's do McAvoy.
Got the puck. It looked like it went past our goalie and then got it. I was trying to make a reverse play there to Krells, and you know, good players in this league, so they made a good play. And I
got to
be strong around the puck.
That was McAvoy.
McAvoy played like crap yesterday.
He turned over the puck on that fourth goal. Yeah.
You know who is as good as that? Sidney Crosby.
He's a good player.
He's come back from injury, and he just said, wow, you are really good.
Yep.
You're putting assists through your legs, backwards through your legs. You're doing a lot of good things there, Mr. Crosby.
Here's Cassidy.
We saw some poor defending, poor goaltending, I think, in Philly. Tonight, I think it was more of the same, to be honest with you. Not so much on the goalie. Now, they were good goals, but you know, we get beat off the wall in the first one. And last one, I can't tell you what happened, to be honest. It's a rim puck that the goalie, you know, needs to get out and stop. The D need to communicate. You need to make a play. You can't turn the puck over there. There's too much of that going on. Too much of guys that have offensive ability have to start playing to their strength a little bit more on our back end, or we got to seriously consider, you know, what type of decor do we want? We're supposed to be mobile. We're supposed to be able to move pucks, break pucks out, add to our offense. And right now, that's a challenge for us.
So it was Monday that the Bruins had the 5-2 lead over the Flyers early in the second period, only to, of course, lose that one game 6-5. And then November 12th, they had a 4-0 lead over Florida in a period that turned to a shootout, and they ended up losing 5-4 on that one. So, I mean, this is something that should not happen, and it's happened three times already. And it was not a good way to lose that one. So,
by the way, Kevin Miller at Pucks for Pucks and Paddles.
Yeah, that was a good sign to see him there.
Yeah.
Glad he was there. Unfortunately, David Backes not there, who we now know.
Not unfortunate.
I think it was after the show on Friday that they announced that he cleared waivers. So
they get that $1.75 million, baby, in cap space.
Yeah.
Don't spend it all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
That guy he gets to sit there and make $6 million. Good for him.
I just don't know how riled up to get about January hockey or basketball. I just know that there haven't been a lot of feel-good moments over the past, like, 3 or 4 weeks with really either team. I mean, the thing with the Bruins, it's more concerning because there are trends that you're seeing. They can't win in the shootout. Overtime's a disaster. And also, they're giving up big leads. And that's something that has been going on for long enough to make you think this is more than just a middle of the season problem. So
the Australian Open is on, so you can always enjoy that. And Djokovic is about to, I would say, take this one. Wouldn't you, Johnny boy?
Well, I mean, he's down in the third set, Fred, so anything's possible.
I mean, anything is possible.
He raced through the first two sets, you know.
Well, it took tiebreak in the first set.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. We shall see. So many people are listening today. It's unbelievable. You look over the great Morrissey Boulevard. Yeah. There's one car driving.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good time to be alive. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.